Hello, everybody, and welcome to the second episode of the Bills Wire Wagon Wheel Podcast, presented to you by USA Today SMG. My name is Matt Johnson, one of your hosts, alongside with me every single week, my man, David. David, how are you?
Good, Matt. How you doing?
Not bad. Enjoying this bye week. It's been, I haven't had to do too much work this week. It's been kind of nice. No writing articles, no... we didn't have to podcast, but we chose to because we love our listeners so much. It's been it's been needed. Not just for the Buffalo Bills, but I think for every I think it's fans after some of the things that you know we've had to witness over the last 10 weeks or so. Definitely needed that bye week. So emotionally, I'm good. I'm ready for this back half of the season to really get started and get underway. But a lot of excitement here. A lot of excitement here within Bills fans. I think there's a lot to be excited about right now. First and foremost, what are you feeling right now? So this is week 11's coming to a close. We're recording right now during Monday Night Football. Tampa Bay and Los Angeles Rams are going at it. But what is your feeling right now on the overall, you know, how this team has done so far this year?
Well, I'm looking ahead here. We got six games left, and I'm looking back on the first stretch of the season. It wasn't pretty, but we got seven wins and only three losses.
Yeah.
And at least, I mean, hindsight's 2020. Like, I mean, you can kind of look at it and Monday morning quarterback it to death, but the reality of it is you look back on a game like a Cardinals win, right, at the last second, and we said it last week, is that, you know, you do one or two things differently, you're not even in that position, or that doesn't even happen.
Correct.
I have a lot I feel really good about, even though it's been a little messy. There's been a lot of adjusting without the preseason. You know, there's been injuries. There's been things that come along with the territory. I would say overall, though, it's hard not to feel good. And if you're a Bills fan, I mean, I know I have a generally positive predisposition, but I got to say, there's so much there to be encouraged about. I think when you look at all the records that they're setting and breaking, both franchise and league, I think when you look at Allen's performance, the thing that strikes me each season he comes out now, he doesn't just exceed expectations, he does it in a historical way. And that's something that seems really significant when your name is being mentioned with all-time quarterbacks and guys who are known for setting all-time quarterback records, you know, in the same sentence, in the same handful of names. It's a lot to feel good about. So that's something I've been thinking about a lot, is just all those positives, all those constructive things. We have had a lot of guys on and off dealing with health stuff. And I think having these 2 weeks for them to rest up, for everybody to heal up for the most part. Unfortunately, we lost Tommy Sweeney for the year. But, you know, we'll at some point here, we'll touch on the tight end play, which is one of the topics I'd love to unpackage more. And while I do wish Tommy a full recovery, speedy, full, safe return to health for the guys that will be on the field, I'm really looking forward to seeing some of these guys that were fun to watch last year and seeing what they can do this year. And even just looking at the remainder of the schedule too, I feel good about our chances looking at the start to the schedule, the teams that we've beat, the teams that we've almost beat, the teams that we should have beat or should have had an easier time beating.
Yeah.
Like I said, there's a lot to feel good about. We're sitting pretty right now in the AFC. You know, the fact that Miami and New England are losing games like they did on Sunday always helps, but I'm more focused on the Bills winning.
You know, for sure. I mean, like I said, it has been a emotional roller coaster this last 10 weeks, right? This team could very easily be 8-2 right now. They could be, if things had played out differently, maybe 9-1, who knows? Hindsight is, like you said, hindsight is definitely 2020, but there has been a significant, this team, I think as a unit, you know, they're like, it's been rough, but you know, they're competing in games that, you know, that 2-3 years ago, we never would have thought possible. So You know, we're here in this wonderful moment, this wonderful opportunity where the Bills are, you know, finally right now atop the AFC East. And we've said it a couple times there when we were under our previous banner, but, you know, we're competing at the NFL level and not just the AFC East level. And I think it speaks volumes. And this team, while not perfect, not in the slightest, is competitive, is playing some of the best teams in the National Football League. And they're doing some things right. They've done some things wrong that's cost some games. But there is, you know, there is optimism there. It's been a very exhausting 10 weeks, you know, and you said it, another great thing you said, there's been no preseason. There's been the adjustment period is so tight. You know, the Bills have had, you know, 10 straight weeks without a bye. I think that's a little rough. Maybe players appreciate a little bit later of a bye week. I tend to prefer mine. If I was a team, I'd like mine around week eight or nine, just to kind of really split up the season. But, you know, I'm happy with this team. I really truly am. You know, they're growing. There's pains of growing. The adjustment period has been, I think they've done a pretty good job. Every week they're giving you something a little bit different. You know, I still have questions about Brian Daboll, which I've already mentioned, but I think as a whole, this team is, I feel like we're getting a new look at this team every single week. It's a little bit different. It's improved. And I mean, sometimes it doesn't look like it's improved, but they are trying new stuff. They know what the end game is. They know what the goal is, and they're working towards it, which is, you know, really, really cool to, you know, to kind of see them experimenting midseason and be able to perform. 7-3 is not too shabby, not too shabby at all.
No kidding.
So.
Yeah, that's also been part of it. We have one of the best records in the league. A win's a win. And right now we're projecting for the playoffs. And I think that when you look at it in a vacuum, and you look at the progression from when Sean McDermott became the head coach, from when Brandon Bean became the GM, to think that, I mean, I know they had to make a little bit of sacrifices in that first year or two to build and kind of get that foundation in place to be able to do some of the things that they did this past offseason. I start thinking about that, and each year there's visible step forwards. We talked about, you know, the visible step forward with Allen each year. He's still just a kid, man. He's still a young guy.
He is.
So, you know, it's easy to forget that sometimes, but for him to be taking those step forwards in his second and third season is all you could ask and more. And so, you know, he's still learning and growing. He's very sage and transparent about that in his post-game pressers about being the first person to own what they did well, but also specifically what they can work on and improve on. He talks about that every week after the game.
He's mature beyond his years.
Just looking at that and thinking about some things along those lines, thinking about how what steps the Bills have taken, you know, in the second season with Allen. I mean, just the fact that they started making the playoffs, I love the difference between how they did it too. You know, getting in on a Cincinnati win.
You know, yeah, out of their control. Out of their control.
Yeah, like pretty much. And then, you know, now we're doing it on our own merit. Now we're doing it by winning the games we need to win when we need to win them. 4-0 record in the division. First place in week 13 in the AFC East since 1996. And so there's just things like that are really good to kind of give you a sense of where this team's at. I love all the records that they set and surpassed from 1991 this year from the Bills Super Bowl run with Jim Kelly in his career year. So there's things like that. I feel like it's really important to pay attention to, not to get caught up in comparing to other teams, but to really just focus on the Buffalo Bills and say, you know, look at where and how we've grown. There's no way we'd be doing the stuff that we're doing right now a year ago, 2 years ago. So it is important and valuable. I think it really puts things into perspective And really, I mean, it just feels great, you know, looking back over the start to the season, feel very encouraged about what else we might be able to accomplish with the remaining six games.
Most certainly so. Yeah, the comparison thing is always interesting. Like, you know, I get it. Josh Allen has been compared to, you know, Josh gets his comparisons to Jim Kelly's era. Mm. And while I think that's always a dangerous assertion, I don't think, you know, it. I think it means about as much as some of these opinionated rankings. Results are number one. Totally different era. It's a sign of a good thing, probably, most likely. But I, you know, the comparisons, they always miss me. You know, I get it. The league is full of parity, but I don't take as much value in it as maybe some other people do, and that's just me. I'm not going to tell anybody else how they should feel about it. One thing I do want to acknowledge too is that, you know, I know here we are talking about comparisons, but I can't say enough how happy I've been watching Josh Allen grow these last 3 years. I really have, you know, and then comparing to the rest of his draft class, the Lamar Jacksons, the Baker Mayfields, Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen's not getting talked about for all the right reasons, if you get what I'm saying. So I think that's shown tremendous growth. I mean, he still makes rookie mistakes, and Grant, he still makes mistakes. It's going to happen. But you look at his mistakes compared to some of these other, like, league MVP comparison players, he's made the same similar mistakes that they have. You know, Aaron Rodgers has thrown interceptions in some of the worst moments in some games. Russell Wilson has thrown a lot of interceptions the last month or so. Patrick Mahomes, well, they're still a very winning team. You know, they have, you know, he's still making mistakes. It's just, you know, so I think that's a good sign. But nobody's questioning whether Josh Allen has the ability to be the long-term answer for the Buffalo Bills quarterback. You know who they are questioning? Sam Darnold, which we kind of figured. They're questioning Lamar Jackson's being questioned now more than ever, which I think is particularly interesting. Baker Mayfield, 200 plus yards for Baker Mayfield is a really, really good day for Baker Mayfield. Josh Rosen, he's kind of fizzled out. His future, I mean, it looks bleak right now. Who knows what'll come of it, but, you know, Mason Rudolph, you know, we're in such a good place right now. And I, you know, the quarterback situation has long been the biggest question for this team, right? Ever since Jim Kelly left, we had Flutie, we had Johnson, we had Van Pelt, Bledsoe, J.P. Lossman, Trent Edward. I mean, geez, the list goes on and on. E.J. Manuel, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Kyle Orton, Tyrod Taylor. And we get this guy who's, you know, this is his third season. He's playing just as well as anybody. So I did want to comment on that. I think it's an important thing because this year he has looked like, you know, he can play amongst the best of the NFL. And it's a very good testament to our changing culture here. As far as, you know, what we have as a coaching staff, long gone are the Rex Ryan days. And there's been so many other people, you know, that have come in past that I've almost forgotten about. But, you know, long gone are those days. Long gone are the Doug Whaley days where we're missing on drafts. You know, this team has progressed so much. But this year they came out of the gate and looked like they could be the best in the NFL, where last year it was still a prove it. It was still a prove it year. I mean, it's still a prove it year every year. But now, right out of the gate, they came in high expectations. And I think, you know, to say that you're 7-3 in a very tough AFC conference, this is a very competitive AFC conference right now. You know, I think it speaks volumes as to what this team is and what it can be. So very, very proud. Again, I know I say it, I've said it on the other, you know, when this was under different names, I'm not a Bills fan. All right. I support the team. And I'm grateful because it's given me a bit of objectivity when it comes to analyzing the Bills. You know, I will criticize when needed, but I will patronize when they deserve it. And this is something that deserves to be patronized on behalf of the Bills organization, that they've done very, very well in developing Josh Allen and getting this team to where it is today. And that's the kind of stuff doesn't happen overnight. People want overnight success. And the team, the franchise, the owners, the Pegulas, love them or hate them, they've been prepared for this. They sat through it. And, you know, we see how many times we see coaches and you know, coaches come in, they get 1-2 years, things don't look all that bright, and they're gone. They're out the door. Mm-hmm. Everybody's been very patient, and that's, there's something very, very special here in Buffalo for these diehard fans. So yeah, had to commend that. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so. You know, you could make a very strong case. This is the best non-Bill Polian assembled Bills team in history. So, and that's just right now. I mean, that's without even getting into how this team could look a year from now.
Yeah.
You think about
who knows what the ceiling's
the
like
that we made the offseason, right? We pinpointed positions and areas that we needed to address. We addressed them through trade, the draft, and free agency. And look at the difference that some of those moves made, trading for a Stephon Diggs overnight, trading for Diggs and adding Gabe Davis to our receiving core in the draft, turned us into one of the top receiving cores in the league, because we already had a gamer like Cole Beasley. We already had some guys that can help kind of spread out the game a bit. You add a Zach Moss in the backfield. I know that the running game is still working through some stuff, but he's made an immediate impact this year. You know, with some running
love Zach Moss. And I love Zach Moss.
Stuff like that. All I mean to say is that, you know, this, if they look this good right now, I'm very interested to see what this could look like in a year, 2 years, 3 years, as they're shoring up and adding and strengthening areas. So that there is a lot to feel good about there. Obviously, the turnover that we had at quarterback, you know, it might pale in comparison to, say, like the Browns, but it's still up there. We had that long playoff drought, so I'm with you on that. I think that there is a huge, huge visible imprint by the commitment that the Pegulas made, imprint by Sean McDermott on the field, imprint from Brandon Beam off the field, and I'm very interested to see what that can look like moving forward. And hopefully, my hope, you know, is that the Bills will finish with a strong record, securing their rightful playoff spot in AFC East title, but also that they'll win in the playoffs. And that's kind of the next step. That Texans game last year, not to take anything away from Houston, but that was one of those games like we've seen earlier this season where it's winnable for the Bills. And that's what made the loss a little bit painful.
No, most certainly. You know, because the expectations are higher this year. It's not make it to the playoffs, right? It's not break the right drought. It's go in and do some damage. And if you play well enough, if you play to the best of everybody's ability, you know, this can be a Super Bowl team. It can. I'm not going to definitively say that, hey, this team is the de facto Super Bowl champions. There's still a lot of football left. But this team can, from what we've seen this team do, it can be a Super Bowl champion. And you know, it's all going to come down. You know, any given Sunday, this team has to be ready for anything. The mistakes, you know, that have been made before, you build on them, you grow on them. And, it's this last stretch, we're going to see how much, you know, this bye week, how beneficial it has been for the Buffalo Bills. And you know, how can they perfect their craft? You see teams hit their stride at this point all the time. They get hot, and this is the time of the year where you want to get hot, right? Sure, the Bills are 7-3 right now. They've done very good, but I want to see this team click on all phases going down this final stretch. Continue to be hot, you know. Win out this stretch, and I think it you know, there's some tough competition, don't get me wrong, but if you win out this stretch, momentum is a very real thing in football, whether it's within the confines of a game, whether it is, you know, looking at the overall picture of a season. Momentum is a very, very real thing in the NFL, and this team, there's still lots to left to prove, but I think they're, you know, and simply put, you know, I think they're on the right track to do more than just crack the playoff scene. I really do.
I really like what you had to say about the bye week too, and the difference that could make. You know, we touched on just the health stuff, but even in terms of just resetting, you know, refreshing, one of the things that I'm hopeful for in the future is that we'll become a team that secures a first round bye in the playoffs. I've seen the difference that that can make. That was actually status quo for New England during most of their Super Bowl runs.
Yep.
You know, whether or not they got that first round bye sometimes determined whether or not they advanced in the playoffs.
It was the difference maker. Yep.
I think the years they didn't get the bye, they didn't move forward. So you see the difference that having that week off can make. It gives you rest, gives you a chance to put your opponents under the microscope a little bit more. I'm hoping that this bye week gives them a chance to reset and refresh as we go into this next stretch of games. We have the Chargers, the Niners, the Steelers, the Broncos, the Patriots, and Dolphins. The Niners and the Patriots games are Monday night football games, and the Steelers game is a Sunday night game. So we're getting that little bit of extra rest. It's not a lot, but it's a little bit. And so hopefully that's going to hopefully that'll play into our favor as well.
Most certainly. It's primetime television. That's where you want to shine. We all know historically yesterday's issues, they don't come to effect today, but primetime has not been the Bills' best friend over the last 20 years. But the last couple years, it's been very good to them. Last year, they beat the Dallas Cowboys in primetime, pretty much primetime on Thanksgiving. And they also pretty much, they clinched their playoff berth with a victory over the Steelers. And I think it was Sunday Night Football. I want to say it was Sunday Night Football. So there's some very big opportunities for the Bills to make statement, big statements. Their last couple primetime game, I would consider, what was it? The Kansas City Chiefs one was what, played on a Tuesday? I think it was a Tuesday. One of those two.
Yeah, that wonky
5 o'clock.
Thing.
Yeah.
It was a Tuesday game.
It was a Tuesday. So, like, they've had their – I mean, it's not, like, prime time, but still all eyes are on you. But this Bills team has the opportunity to build momentum and beat these teams, beat very admirable, respectable teams on primetime television. It is a very, very huge opportunity this upcoming stretch. You did mention the Chargers, which the Bills are preparing for right now.
Right.
The Chargers are such a strange, peculiar team. They're competitive, but they have a trouble finishing games, and the Bills are, excel at that. But I'm excited for every one of these games. You take them one game at a time, but I think the biggest prove it game for me, and I would probably imagine it is for you, is this Steelers game coming up in a few weeks. That is obviously the strongest team. That is, aside from the Dolphins, the only other team with a winning record at this point in time. We all know they're 10-0. People are saying they might be the worst 10-0 team of all time. I tend to disagree, but this is not last year's Steelers that the Bills kind of, clinched their playoff berth with. I feel like if they can outplay this Pittsburgh Steelers team, then Buffalo will have ultimately shown their potential of, being in the Super Bowl bubble. We'll call it ultimately a Super Bowl bubble, because the Steelers are a very, very good team, and you're not going to be able to just run out and run your bread and butter. You're going to have to mix things up. You're not going to run up the gut on a team like that. You're going to have to show your creative side and really unload if you want to succeed. If they fall to a team like that, it definitely brings up some reservations as to what this team can do, because they would have had lost to some. That would probably be three. At least in the AFC side of things, with Titans, Chiefs, and then it would be Steelers, if it's a big if. Some reservations if they can advance and do what needs to be done when it comes to postseason time. That does bring up some questions, but this is a very favorable stretch of schedule, and I think they're going to perform. And I'd like to believe that they're going to perform well. If anybody gets in trouble, it'll probably be the Steelers or the Dolphins, quite honestly. If anybody gets in trouble, definitely the Steelers. Possibly the Dolphins. I don't know what they'll look like come week 17, but right. I really enjoy this stretch. I think they have a very favorable stretch of games coming up here.
Yeah, the Chargers are, like you said, an interesting team. Got former Bills coach Anthony Lynn, and they're doing some really, really solid stuff on offense. And I think Herbert was, I mean, I don't know how anybody else looked at guys in the first round and didn't think that Justin Herbert might be the best quarterback available. I understand the upside of a mobile guy like Tua, and I like Tua. I hope it all works out great for him. You know, I hope that he has a great career and everything. But as I've been watching them play with Tua, I've wondered if it's one of those situations where you have a new quarterback, young guy, teams haven't had a good look at him, and they come in and they have those hot three or four first games. And then by like the fourth or fifth game, defenses start figuring them out a bit.
Yeah.
And I think part of that is that a lot of these front offices are going all in on mobile quarterbacks, short mobile quarterbacks in the draft. And if you want a Russell Wilson type, you'll get one. If you draft one, the thing is we don't know if Russell Wilson is a multi Super Bowl quarterback just yet. Right. I love him. I'm a huge fan of Russell Wilson. Huge. The guy's amazing. The way he moves in and out of the pocket has changed a little bit. He slowed down just a little bit. But you look at a Kyler Murray, who's like a young kind of next level version of Wilson. And he is probably the best in terms of moving and being quick and shaking and ducking tackles the way that Wilson did when he came into the league. Tua might be the next guy down the bracket as far as that ability goes. The thing that I notice about those guys is that they are very talented at moving in and out and ducking tackles and shaking off and keeping plays alive, extending plays. The difference between them and a Patrick Mahomes is footwork. When I watch Patrick Mahomes' footwork, it's different. He's not just moving to avoid, you know, tackles, moving behind, around and behind defenders, which good quarterbacks do, and that's awesome. But he's also able to run out of the pocket and literally just twinkle toes, run circles around guys on defense like he did against the Raiders yesterday. So, you know, not everybody's able to do that. Aaron Rodgers is, you know, we've seen Aaron Rodgers do stuff like that. And that's why I think that you see guys like Josh Allen and you see guys like Justin Herbert who are prototype big quarterbacks. I mean, I think they both kind of look like a little bit of a cross between Ben Roethlisberger and Philip Rivers. And, you know, both of them are able to do both of those things that those mobile shorter quarterbacks are able to do in terms of moving in and out of the pocket, avoiding and shaking off tackles, but also footwork and getting around and keeping plays alive, moving with the ball outside the pocket and making those throws. So Herbert reminds me a bit of Allen in the sense that they're about the same size. You know, they're gamers. They both really make some plays on offense. And they even remind me a little bit of the Bills a couple seasons ago when we do good in terms of the final score, but we just wouldn't win games.
Right.
And that's
right.
What I've been seeing with the Chargers is that they're putting up points on offense. They're just coming up short in most of those games that they're playing. And so they are not to be taken lightly. It, just like a lot of the other games that we've talked about this season together, I think it's going to really depend on the Bills defense, right? We've seen them get going the last couple weeks. That can be the difference maker. And then, of course, the third quarter lows. You know, we go a little stagnant. Teams adjust. We have trouble adjusting in the third quarter. And so, but the Chargers, yeah, that's going to be a challenge, I think, coming up.
Yeah, I am looking forward to this Chargers game. You know, I've always had a soft spot for the Chargers. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because I like their previous quarterback. I like their current quarterback a lot in Justin Herbert. You know, so much. And I think that, you know, that the Chargers have had the Bills number over the last several years, right? They bump into each other. We always get, you know, classic throwback. We get Nathan Peterman's wonderful five interceptions and a half game. That's always an interesting throwback. The Chargers have had the Bills number for the last couple of years, whether they've been good, whether they've been bad, they've had their number. So, you know, the any given Sunday type mentality, but there is, you know, is this Bills defense going to show up, and are the Bills going to have to win it, you know, an offensive shootout? I think it's interesting. So I'm definitely excited to be able to talk with you about that on Sunday, post-game recap and all that stuff. There's a lot to watch for that. There's a lot to watch for that. You know, if these Bills come out sluggish, there's going to be questions. If they come out on fire, there's hope, there's optimism, there's momentum. And that's certainly what the Bills need going into this final stretch and making it to the postseason. I wanted to talk with you a little bit about what this team is looking like. So not so much the teams versus other teams, but what you're like expecting out of this Bills unit. You know, because like I said, there's been inconsistencies. It's been the roller coaster. There's been the ups. There's been the downs. But there's been the building blocks, I guess, of potential success. And I feel like the Bills have followed it pretty well. Let's start off with the defense. Because that has probably been the biggest roller coaster of this 2020 year, is this defense. You know, it came out coming out of the gate. It's top five defense on paper. Most of the returning starters are there. But they are not playing up to the level that we want them to, right? The rushing defense has been lackluster. I'm not sure how much the Bills are averaging giving up in yards, but some of their star players are giving up big plays, which is not your ideal situation. Ideally, you'd want it to be a little bit more balanced. You want to be able to depend on your defense a little bit more than the Bills have been able to. So what are your expectations of this Bills defense in this back half of the season?
Namely to fill the gap, right? We lost a couple high energy guys to free agency and we had a chance to have some younger guys get a little bit more playing time. I think right now, the thing that I'd like to see most is health, consistency, and then some guys taking the next step. So right now we've had injuries. We've had guys that have been in and out. We've had for different reasons, inconsistency in our secondary. You know, we've had cornerbacks injured. We've had times where teams are targeting people that they consider to be kind of the weak end on cornerback, which, by the way, what a great problem to have going into next year's draft when our secondary is good enough for they're having to pick like the weakest link to target them. Because once we add a guy, whether he's already somebody in house that just takes the next step, or if we draft, you know, somebody at that position to shore that out, they're going to have a heck of a time thrown into that coverage. So, you know, this year we've seen flashes of how good it can be. It's picked up a little bit in recent weeks. I'm basically hoping that that's a sign of how the rest of the year is going to go, because we have missed that same energy on defense. It wasn't until the last couple of games that they really got going. We have some younger players like Tremaine Edmonds and Ed Oliver, especially. You know, Tremaine's been kind of getting going, and Ed Oliver, you know, he's been good at times, but I'm waiting for him to take that next step in applying the pressure that he's capable of applying on defense this season. It's nice to have Epineza in the mix too. I think that one of the things that I'm hopeful for and looking forward to is I've really wanted to see us get a Khalil Mack, Aaron Donald type linebacker added to that mix. Look what we were able to do with Matt Milano. Matt Milano, a late round pick in the draft, has become one of our most important guys in that unit on the field. And his productivity is such a big difference maker for the team that the games this year that he was out injured, you could see the difference that between when he was on the field and when he wasn't was very visible. So I think about things like that in terms of the injuries. I think about productivity from young guys in their second year that you're looking, second, third year, you're looking for them to kind of take that next step. Even a rookie like Epineza, hopefully he can make a good, healthy recovery from the concussion that he had and come in and be a force. Because I don't know about anybody else, but I sure did notice the change when he was out of the game against Kyler Murray as opposed to what it looked like before he was out.
Yes, you are absolutely right. You did pinpoint that a lot. You did pinpoint that last week when we did our Arizona Cardinals review. You brought up some tremendous points. I mean, this defense has been injury ridden, right? Especially at the linebacker position, which I think is going to be one of the highest, if not the highest priority in free agency and the draft this upcoming year. That has been the biggest sore spot, and teams have been targeting our certain players, and it's mostly been in the linebacker position. We give up a lot of yardage. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I watch game film. We give up a lot of yardage in the middle of the field. Tight ends have had pretty good success. Solid tight ends have had pretty good success. Running backs have had good success in the receiving game. The linebacker position definitely needs improvement. You know, I want to see Tremaine. I want to see him find his groove. And there's been some glimmers of hope. There certainly have. I believe he's been playing with an injured shoulder through most of the season, but his awareness, he does not look like Tremaine of old. And that's what worries me. I'm trying to figure and pinpoint what happened psychologically. Again, injuries can play a big part in that, but I want to see him be on this team. You know, he's a name player. People, they hear Tremaine Edmonds, oh, or Buffalo Bills, or you hear Buffalo Bills linebackers, oh, Tremaine Edmonds. You know, we want to see this guy produce. We want to see him be around here for a little while. Ed Oliver, I felt like he came in with there's a lot of hype, and he does produce at a relatively good level, but I don't hear his name as often. And maybe that's because I'm a stat guy. I don't know. But maybe he's just disrupting. You know, I watched enough game film, but I don't hear Ed Oliver's name nearly enough as I would probably like to. Because what round did we take him in? We took him in what, 2018? I want to say.
Yeah, he was our first round pick. He was like our
fourth or fifth overall.
Our top pick in the draft. Yeah,
fourth, fifth, or sixth overall. So is he 2018 or 2019 draft? Probably 2019. 2019.
Yeah, I think so.
2019. My apologies. So I want to see him produce more because I mean this front, like I said, this front seven. There's the potential's there, but I just have to see the results. I have to see the results. I'm not going to be condescending, but I have to see an improved facet because as we talked about, you know, we're getting towards that stretch where we're heading towards the postseason. And a lot of these teams, I think I mentioned last time, but a lot of these teams are run-heavy teams. You know, they like to use the run. And if teams know that they're going to be able to eat up clock and eat up big chunk plays off your defense, on the ground, they're going to do it all day. And then when you finally commit to stopping it, they're going to pick you up. They're going to pick you off at the top. And we all know there's some pretty significant passers in this net, and at least in the AFC side of things, it looks like from a playoff perspective. Your Derek Carrs, your Patrick Mahomes, your Big Ben Roethlisberger's, I'm not going to say Baker Mayfield. I think the Browns are going to make the postseason this year, but I'm not going to say Baker Mayfield's like this high-end quarterback. I'll even give some love to my own quarterback, Philip Rivers. He's opened up. He looks a lot more comfortable in this, this Colts system right now. And he's been passing a little bit better, a lot more efficiently. The Bills' weaknesses basically are, I think, the AFC's strengths. A lot of the AFC teams that they're going to be competing against are their strengths, you know. I don't think Cleveland's going to win the AFC North, so that's going to put them in a wild card spot. If they somehow keep winning and they have two of the best running backs in the National Football League in Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, that's going to spell some disaster. So I really want to see these guys tighten up over the next couple of weeks. There's nothing you could do in free agency at this point. Everybody worthwhile picking up is already on a squad. So this team just has to be either A, coached better, or B, just perform better and just be visually smarter. If it means more time on a practice field, more time doing tape study, it's absolutely a necessity for this Bills team to succeed in the postseason and going forward in general. Epineza has been a fun case. He has moments, I've been hearing his name a lot less, you know, the last couple of weeks, you know, of course, and he is a difference maker. You did bring that up with the Cardinals. He is a playmaker. I think he's got a bright future ahead of him. So far, I think he's lived up to an early second round. He was early second round pick, if I'm not mistaken. He's kind of lived up. I think he's lived up to that pretty well. So, yeah, the defense is, there's a few little things got to tighten up. You know, I look at the Seahawks game, and while they did just, I mean, they did just enough. They did make Russell Wilson turn the ball over a little bit. They still gave up a lot of points, and, you know, and we don't want to have to see Josh. That's why we, you know, Josh Allen's the future, is because we can depend on him in that light. But I don't want to ever see Josh Allen become, you know, turn it into a, you know, or this team just turn into, you know, the way Russell Wilson has had to play this last month or so. You have to throw, because your defense is playing so poorly. There's so many points set up on, put up on the board, and you have to rely, and your offense becomes one dimensional. And that's the last thing I want to see, you know, happen. So it's, we need, simply put, good complementary football is what I want from the defense. The defense has to live up to its end of the bargain. The offense, for the most part, while there's been some exceptions, has I think it's been as complimentary as it can be for this defensive unit. So,
yeah, they got some interesting games forthcoming. It, the chart, each one strikes me as one they could win. The thing is, the way we've played this year, the possibility that the other team could come out on top is very real. I would say, just looking at this stretch, Chargers, Niners, Steelers, Broncos, Patriots, Dolphins, you're going to be challenging. Even the Broncos can come out and have a good day. They've shown they can do that a couple times this season. But the Niners obviously are very banged up. You know, they're missing a lot of their guys. When you first see that on the schedule at the beginning of the year, you think, man, we're going against one of the elite teams in the NFC. Well, they still have an elite coach, you know, who's gone to a couple Super Bowls.
They still have a decent running game. A
coordinator and also head coach. So those are things that I think about. I mean, they are fully capable of surprising you too. We're going to have our work cut out for us for the Steelers. I think that looking at that schedule at the beginning of the year, that was one of the ones that I looked at. And I've had the Steelers as a Super Bowl favorite for the AFC pretty much since the beginning of the season.
Right.
And that's going to be a big challenge. And obviously, Patriots, Bill Belichick, you know what you're getting there. I think as long as we play better than we did last time, we should win that game. Same exact thing with the Dolphins too. So just looking at that, they're winnable games. The Steelers, not to overlook anyone else, but the Steelers one stands out a lot from that bunch. And what I do like, and I do feel good about, and as we're talking about the defense improving and the difference that that can make, an impact that that can make in a game, looking over some of the other ones we've played this year against teams like the Raiders, the Rams, the Seahawks, games that we won, games that were close to, like the Chiefs, you know, it feels pretty darn good to be up there with those teams. It feels pretty good for the Bills to be part of that group, you know, of teams in the NFL now. So looking ahead and looking down this stretch, they're winnable games. I mean, I can't say that the Bills are definitively going to win all of them or anything like that. You know, you got to just kind of take it each game at a time.
Yeah.
But all that being said, you know, if that defense, if those guys can take that step and continue to make progress, if that secondary, you know, continues to have people healthy and on the field, and have our difference makers on the field, and not be reaching for depth because we've got guys out as much, and Edmonds and Oliver can show up, Epineza can continue to develop, because we're still waiting to see what type of impact he's going to make fully over the scope of his first season.
Yeah.
He might be one of those guys that got hot, like just kind of got warmed up the first part of the year, and then goes into that last stretch and heats up. So he's a big guy. He's an inch taller than Josh Allen. And I think like something like 20 something or 30 pounds heavier Like he's a big boy. So they can make a big impact. And then on offense, Matt, I wanted to ask you about the running game. We've talked about the third quarter on both sides of the ball. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on that.
All right. So the running game bothers me the most. It honestly bothers me the most. You know, the Bills, and I know they've been in some pretty competitive games the last couple weeks, but I feel like they have gone, they've gone mostly away from the run. And maybe that's because some of the personnel. I honestly, at this point in time, as of 11:19 p.m. on November 23rd, 2020, I value Zach Moss as a runner more than I do Devin Singletary. I do. And maybe that's a little bold. I feel like Zach Moss is taking the ball and running with it, pun intended. But I've seen more consistency from him. I'm seeing bigger gains, a little bit more just efficient usage. I don't know what it is about Singletary. You know, I thought that was the big excitement this year coming in, is that we were going to get this sweet 1-2 punch. You know, Devin Singletary was going to be, I'm not going to say like a world-class running back, like a tier one running back, if we're going to talk about that. But even though somebody said that they would take Devin, they would have took Devin Singletary number one overall in their fantasy draft. Pump the brakes, guys. This past year, somebody straight up said that. I'm like, oh God, you're such a homer. but it's, you know, that was the right. We wanted to get back to that. The Bills, which have had a very, not a very good offensive identity for the last 20 years, have been a very run. Their offensive identity has been running the ball. Fred Jackson, LeSean McCoy, amongst several others, Marshawn Lynch. And just, there's been a lot of good running back play. And now this team has developed as a great passing team, and the running game is non-existent. So I don't know what they need to do. I don't know if this is a point, you know, the offensive line. I'm worried about, I don't think Devin Singletary is going to be like a long-term person here. I really don't. And that's a bold proclamation, but I'm just not seeing it. Zach Moss has been the definitive guy. I think he should be listed as RB1. And in my personal opinion, I'm not seeing it with Devin Singletary, unfortunately. Glimmers, but not consistent enough. But I feel like when they do feed Zach Moss, he's doing what needs to be done. Hold on to RB1 spot. The third quarter issue has been the most baffling, because I think I read it was before the Arizona game, or maybe it was after, the point differential for the Bills is like +7. And that's how bad the third quarters have been. They've scored a lot of points this year, but the fact that that's as tight as it is, that's a lot. It's pretty concerning. You know, a lot of teams that going to the locker room at halftime and being able to readjust, that's a strength for a lot of squads. A lot of the better teams can do that. Things don't look good in the first half. You adjust, you make necessary adjustments, and you go and you ball out in the second half. You're a completely different team. And I think that's how some of the better teams are. Third quarter is not the Bills' strongest quarter. Let's just say that. There needs to be better. I mean, they wait till the fourth quarter to get really hot, you know, which is, it's risky. If you play a team that knows how to control the clock smartly, you know, there's a lot of risk in that. You know, there's opportunity with 30 minutes left. Not a whole lot of opportunity with 15 minutes left, especially if you play a well-coached team who can slow the game, the tempo down, and ice Josh Allen and not let him on the field. That is a big difference maker. So this team has to come out stronger in the third quarter. I don't know what the answer is, but, you know, the adjustments have to be made better. I don't know why it takes so long for them to get accustomed. They will look like Super Bowl champions the first half of a game, and I come out the third quarter and then just get ran over. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's looked good for Josh Allen's stat column as a fourth quarter quarterback for the most part, but you can't leave games down to that chance. It's not a good place to be in as a quarterback. Yes, that is the reason why people want, you know, a good quarterback is to make those plays, but why put more pressure on the guy than he already has to have? So the third quarter, I definitely need, you know, this team has to tighten up. This back half of the season is going to be a huge test to that. You know, are the Chargers going to see what the Bills are offering on defense in the first half and come out and Justin Herbert has another day, has another one of his days where he throws for like 2-3 touchdowns in the third quarter because the Bills defense can't, you know, isn't adjusting or the Chargers just adjusted better. It's worrisome. I mean, honestly, if you look back to the Houston playoff game last year, the wild card, right? The Bills had it the first half of the game, didn't they? Second half, third quarter, that's when things started to turn around a little bit. And that's, you know, it sucks to bring up. I heard you hemming and hawing over there. But, that's when Houston, you know, that's when Houston took over was the third quarter. That was kind of unfortunately the start. And I can almost pinpoint it towards that. That was the start of it. That was the first time I really noticed, man, this team is not great at adjusting in the second half. But, those are my points to the running and running game in third quarter questions, which I think are the most important questions on offense.
I'm going to go counterpoint on Singletary.
Okay.
Only because I think the running game, I'm completely here for the run game needs to improve.
Yeah.
Narrative. I'm completely on board with that. I think that's more or less unanimous, right?
For sure.
Across the fan base and the coaching staff, all that. So all that being said, I do take it with a grain of salt for two reasons. One, we saw Devin Singletary last year look like one of the best running backs in football. Not just over a sample size either, but over the entire season. So we know what he's capable of in the right moments, but you're right about the inconsistency this year. And I think it's twofold, right? Number one, we have a passing game now, and we're getting our feet wet with it. Like, we're learning to adjust and adapt that into this Bills offense. And those two things are merging together and learning how to become one of the same system, right? Like, they're adjusting to one another. And they also approach things situationally. Like, they don't do that to a hammer, everything looks like a nail thing, where they go out and just try to hammer home their game. It's completely week by week. It's situational based on what team they're playing. And it happens to have shaken out where a lot of the teams that they're playing, the pass attack tends to go primary. So I'm looking at those things. I'm just taking all those things sort of into consideration. Moss has been visibly more of an impact than Singletary. But I do believe that as they find more continuity between the pass and the run game and how to integrate them together, make them effective the way that we see teams do. I will say this, and this is something that's been on my mind a bit watching these games. Allen's good at throwing checkdowns. They've been great on first downs, converting all that stuff on short yardage, like 10-yard plays. Here's something I've been wondering about, right? You look at some of these real good offenses in the NFL right now. We'll say like Kansas City because they're an AFC team. And what they're able to do, the Browns do a pretty good job of this as well, of rolling with, you know, their premier back. They have their premier back that they roll out. They have their, you know, second back that they roll out. They're really good at short yard pass, catch, and runs. And that has been something I've been wondering about, is if that might be a way to kind of utilize and get those guys going a little bit more. Because I don't see a ton of those with the Bills offense, but that does seem to be such a big game changer for you know, modern offenses in the NFL, is having those guys that you can dump a pass off to on a quick, you know, 5-6 yard check down, and then they turn it into a 15 to 30 yard gain and sometimes a score.
Tom Brady made a career out of that.
Stuff like that. If you have guys that have that dynamic running ability, maybe that's a way to get them going more. And the other thing too is that Allen is not running with the ball as much. And you and I talked a little bit about this last week. Is situationally, there might be times like in the third quarter where it might be time to do that to put the opposing defense on notice that, hey, you know, those adjustments you just made, we have an answer for that. And it's me with my legs. I'm a big guy. I'm 6'5", and you're going to have a hard time bringing me down, 230 something, 6'5". So looking at that, I think that that kind of wildcat sort of formation, you know, that keeps defenses on their toes, I think that's part of why they were able to have some of that success in the run game in part last year. And I'd like to see a little bit more of that, you know, just as they're fusing the new passing game together with the running game. And that might open up some more opportunities for guys like Singletary, because you don't know what Allen's going to do. You don't know if he's going to throw the ball. You don't know if he's going to take off. You don't know if he's going to hand the ball off or check down to a guy. And that element of surprise is something that, as this offense is coming to form, I'm hoping that kind of starts to become more of a prominent thing. And I will throw this in as a caveat in support of what you said. Those are very dynamic guys in the league on those other teams, whether it is the Dalvin Cooks, whether it's the Kareem Hunts, whether it is, you know, even like the new guy, Allaire, is that how you say his name?
Clyde Edwards Allaire, yeah. Yeah.
Right. So you add these guys, these are guys that are dynamic off the pass and catch. They're dynamic off the run. And I'm hoping that Moss and I'm confident in Singletary's long-term projection as a fast, you know, kind of prototypical running back, and Moss is more of a bruiser. I don't know if they're dynamic playmakers like that just yet. That would be the caveat, is if one of those types of offensive weapons falls to us in the draft, whether they run him out of the slot or as a running back, just having a guy like that. So that could be the thing there. And as far as the third quarter goes, you know, I really like the idea of mixing it up a bit. If things start getting, you know, a little tough going, is having kind of like a go-to, whether it's Allen taking off with the ball more or just doing some things that they don't expect. It doesn't have to get too fancy necessarily. But I will say this, I this did cross my mind this week because I wrote an article on the third quarter situation. One of the things that did cross my mind is that as we're in those third quarters where the defense is maybe struggling a little bit to adjust to the adjustments that the opposing offense has made, and our offense is struggling to adjust to the adjustments at halftime that the opposing defense has made, start thinking about solutions, right? Start thinking about, you know, what could that be? What could that look like? I will say that Allen run thing, I really think that could make a huge difference. Something else, and I'm just going to put it out there. This might just sound like the fan in me, but I do think that there could be a little bit to it. I think it's worthwhile looking how many guys on the Bills roster used to play quarterback. I think it's worthwhile looking at how many guys on the team used to play other positions and seeing how can we incorporate them creatively into our playmaking? How can we run some plays where the defense is not expecting us to have this person throw the ball or this person catch the ball, and just have these in our pocket, you know, running them in practice and having them ready for game situations, so that if you find yourself in those positions, you can do that. I mean, even when we were kicking Tom Brady's butt on defense in the second matchup of the season with the Patriots last year, you know, they got creative on offense. They started mixing it up. They started doing, you know, like more wildcat and pistol formations. And when I look at how many guys we have, you know, in the mix, just on the Bills roster, that is one of the hallmarks of how they sign and draft guys is, you know, are they a multi-tool player? Have they played multiple positions? That's one of the things that they look at. So I wonder if maybe there's some hidden value and opportunities in there, like what we saw last week against the Cardinals, where somebody that you weren't expecting to throw a pass through a pass and somebody you weren't expecting to catch a pass caught one.
Yes. No, I mean that is, you have, I think of the third quarter, that would be most, it'd be pretty impressive. If they started to develop that, we have seen some elements of that trickery. You have to set it up right. But I don't think it's too far to the question. I mean, look how much fun when Cleveland, we'll take a look at this. When Cleveland got all tricky with the Dallas Cowboys and beat the piss out of them, beat them up. Good. They were getting tricky. You know what I mean? The Browns offense from a passing perspective is not the most impressive thing. We already mentioned how, you know, uninteresting like Baker Mayfield is. He has like one good game every month, and like one really superb great game every month. And, you know, but they got creative. They had, was it Landry passing to Odell, or I mean, not that the Dallas defense is anything spectacular, but that's how you keep it a defense on its toes. You throw something out there where it looks, you know, it looks like you're going one way, you go another. That's been my biggest issue in that, like with Dable, from an offensive play con, because I feel like they have their scripted plays that they go for in the first half, and they look good. They look dynamic. And then the third quarter, I feel like they get very, very vanilla, right? It's like, oh, just going to run up the gut, you know? That's like that's a short yardage play. You don't have, I don't think, I mean, I feel like Zach Moss is more of a power runner, but a little bit more so. But you don't have the kind of guys who are going to take a run up the gut. You don't have the offensive line to do it. And I don't think you have the running backs to do, you know, to make something efficient. You know, if you're just running the ball up the middle just for the sake of it, defenses are going to, you're not going to be unpredictable. You're going to be, people are going to catch that. They catch on. And it certainly has played a big factor in the third quarter from my own perspective. You need the trickery. This is 2020. This is the NFL in 2020. You know, you need to have something cool up your sleeve, something different every week. It can't be predictable. Philadelphia, the Philly special, right? Everybody references it. That same play, the Philly special, it works. It's effective, but they have it in their back pocket when need be. The Bills need a Billy special. I don't know, but they need something cool like that. We've seen it ever. I think was Isaiah McKenzie threw a touchdown. Was it Isaiah McKenzie? He threw a touchdown pass to Josh Allen. Somebody did. I can't recall exactly who, but
no, I think it was.
I think it was Isaiah McKenzie. You know, that's a cool thing, but you don't see that all the time. It needs to happen more often than not. But I feel like they just go very vanilla in the third quarter, and a trick play here or there, one or two in that third quarter on an offensive drive to move the chains or score, probably more sort of move the chains on like a third down or something like that. I think it'll go a long way, you know, towards helping this team close up and not, you know, not be so bad in the third quarter. It really does make such a difference.
Yeah, as you were saying that, I was just thinking about it. You know, it's like positionless football in a way, not outright, not completely, but just thinking outside of the box in the sense that, you know, anybody can be a playmaker if you give them the right opportunity. You know, situations where, you know, we need to get the ball moving and it's not working. Look, we have big boys up on the line. You know, I think about all those plays the Patriots used to run, you know, where they'd flip a blocker or a lineman into a receiver, you know, and no one would see it coming. The guy would get wide open every single time. And they did that for years. They ran that play on teams for years where you knew what they were going to do. You knew that was a play that they run, and they still would do it. And then no one could ever stop it. The guy would still be wide open every single time.
Yep.
So, you know, I look at stuff like that. It doesn't even have to necessarily, although I do think it's helpful to have guys you're running, you know, in the backfield, wildcat, whatever, who can throw the ball. And that's why I mentioned the thing about the guys who have quarterback experience is significant to that end. That being said, you know, you have guys who you can utilize who are big and hard to take down and hard to tackle. So there's some flexibility there. There's possibilities and opportunities to be creative where when things aren't going the way you want them to in the third quarter, it's a way to mix things up in a way that gets confusing for the defense because they're not prepared for it. It gets confusing because of all the adjustments that they just made, you know, all of a sudden aren't completely for naught, but they're also maybe not working, you know? And it just gives you a chance. Cause what I like about the Bills is that they figure it out, you know, by the fourth quarter, you know, they get into the stretch and it's a little too close for comfort sometimes, but at least they're figuring it out. And at least we got some gamers that know how to make big plays like Allen and Diggs did at the end of that game when it looked like they had secured the win. You know, that's a great asset to have, especially in games if that comes down to, if you're in a playoff game, something along those lines. Having one of those quarterbacks that'll take your team on his back and a receiver that can make those catches at the end of games. But looking at the rest of the schedule, you know, the regular season, and thinking about the difference that stuff can make in the third quarter, I do think that there's some interesting things that they could do that opposing defenses just wouldn't be prepared for. You, like I said, you don't have to get too crazy, you don't have to get too cute, but it's just doing stuff that maybe exploits the weaknesses, but they're not prepared for, you know, things other teams have done against them, stuff like that. That's kind of what stands out to me. The other thing too is we've got a director of analytics for the team that'll bring stuff to Brandon Bean. And we've been chatting a bit this week about data, you know, third quarter data, some of that. And I wonder if maybe that could also help. I'm just looking at all the options. And that was something that was on my mind this week. You look at a team like the Golden State Warriors in the NBA, you know, they keep the game close. And then in the third quarter, they just put the foot on the gas.
Right.
And that's when they pull away from teams is in the third quarter. They put it out of reach. So I think the Bills are right to be doing what they're doing on offense, where you're coming in and you're pulling. I remember when Peyton Manning first went to the Broncos, Matt. I remember I loved watching that offense because he would just go out there and rack up an insane amount of points on offense in the first half. And then he'd just take the second half off. They'd put in the backup. You know, like it was like that. Lights out, right? And it's cool to see the Bills trending in that direction. It's cool to see the Bills kind of, you know, getting this big offensive thing going. It's just a matter of carrying it over from the first half into the third quarter and not having this thing where all those points are coming in the first half. And then third quarter's rocky, team plays their way back into it. And then fourth quarter, we're either trying to stay them off and secure the win, or then they take the lead, then we take the lead and win, or maybe we don't and they lose. And we lose, not to be in those situations in the first place. And when that offense does get going from the adjustments in the third quarter, on the flip side, you know, you look at Major League Baseball, when they have a team offense get hot, when an opponent's offense gets hot, they'll put a closer in, you know, regardless of what inning of the game it is, to put that fire out. And so I wonder if there's some things like that, some blitz packages, some things that other teams might, you know, it's that old thing of like, you know, anybody, you know, somebody can look like a good quarterback, somebody can look like a great quarterback, but when you're pressuring the pocket and you're just hitting them with blitzes, you know, and they don't have time to be a great quarterback, or they don't have the time to make those great passes or things like that. We saw what the Bucs defense did to Aaron Rodgers earlier this season.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking about stuff like that. I'm wondering if there's some interesting things like that, that they might be able to throw at teams in the third quarter to just disrupt that, disrupt the adjustments, disrupt their offensive adjustments with our defense and what we could throw at them, you know, in that stretch to keep them from getting going and keep them from getting back into the game. And then on offense, obviously, like we talked about, being able to do some creative or unexpected things just to keep our offense going and have those opportunities instead of looking stagnant, like, you know, we're not able to make those drives downfield and keep the offense alive and instead end up having to punt.
I like that you brought up the analytics aspect. You know, it is important. 2 years, right? 2 years, you said, and we haven't heard too much. And maybe there's a reason for that. Maybe not. But I don't know. I feel like the last, like, especially probably the last couple years, maybe it's just me. I tend to look at things like a little bit more broader, but I feel like every Bills game feels like the same. I like the whole flow of it feels the exact same. And I wonder if that's a testament, like I said, these last 2 years, I wonder if that is, you know, attributed to analytics, right? You know, obviously you don't want to be down in the third quarter, but something that maybe they're looking into analytically is not helping them in the third quarter. And why are they opening up and bringing the heat? Really, they're bringing the heat in the fourth quarter, right? It's almost like a bend don't break style of defense in the third quarter, even though they've kind of broken a little bit. But in the fourth quarter, like as soon as that ticker hits 15 minutes, you know, 15 minutes left in the game, the Bills just seem like a completely different unit. And I wonder if the analytics that you brought up, I wonder if that, you know, attributes to that, you know, I mean, what, to me, I'm like, oh, why leave it down to the final quarter, leave things up to chance, seal the deal, keep your foot on the pedal and just bury them. But, I mean, it's worked mostly. I mean, that's what Josh Allen's MO is, right? Fourth quarter comeback guy, honestly, was 30 something seconds away from having another fourth quarter victory. I wonder if analytics has played a big part in how these Bills games have felt, just as a whole. I mean, literally, I feel like it's almost like when we, you know, every time the Bills played the Patriots, like the game felt the same over the last 20 years. Like, okay, they kind of have a lead or they're looking good. I know what happens next. I feel that way with the Bills. And I wonder, you know, I wonder if the analytics have played that, you know, if played as big of a part as I think, and obviously you think, as well. It's definitely an important question that we'll probably never get the official answer to. Just kind of have to wait and see how everything plays out.
I will say this too. Looking ahead at what we got coming up, if the Steelers are still undefeated by the time we see them in a few weeks, you know, may or may not be. I mean, we have no idea how those games will play out. You know, hopefully they'll go into that with the same motivation that they went into the Seahawks game with.
Yeah.
As far as facing an unbeaten, either way, that stretch where we're playing the Chargers, Niners, and Steelers project to be probably just our most challenging game on both sides of the ball, maybe. You know, I understand, looking at this, most of the teams that we play are pretty decent on defense. I mean, obviously the Steelers and the Patriots especially, and now the Dolphins with Brian Flores coaching that team, are known for the defensive side of the ball, what they're able to do there. And so for the offense, I think one thing that I'm hoping, fingers crossed, knock on wood, is going to be a big difference maker, because we've seen how good Allen can be and these dynamite rocket throws he can make downfield when he has time to not just pass, but also to read the coverage, find the open guy downfield. Offensive line health, right? It's been kind of a stymied thing for us. And we might be getting for the first time, like our offensive line healthy and back. And I'm hoping that will also make a big difference for us, not, you know, overall, but also in that second half, especially in situations like that third quarter, as yeah. far as just giving protection, getting the time to make plays and hopefully extend drives more, so that even if they do make adjustments, we can still keep making it downfield on offense. We've had, you know, some guys that we've rolled out this year in Mitch Morse, Cody Ford, John Feliciano, and Darrell Williams. And some guys have been injured at times. You know, we've had guys, I think Feliciano was out like the whole season up until a couple of games ago. And you immediately saw the difference that having him back made. And so hopefully that'll be big, because we've had some kind of plug and play guys that we signed, like Brian Winters. So hopefully that'll shore that out, you know, having fresh rotation guys that can help keep those guys fresh, but just having them healthy, having everybody on the line. And then the other thing too, you and I have talked about this a little bit here and there. With this new offense, the running game has struggled to get going, but the tight ends, you know, it's all situational. Like, we're seeing the ball get spread out a lot, so I'm not too like worried about it, but I really was expecting to see more breakout from Dawson Knox this season, and he's dropped some pass. I think the main issue there is just the hands. He's dropping some passes. He showed big time play potential last year, and if he caught some of these ones that he was dropping, he might make some, you know, on the field, have made some on the field this season. So I'm expectant to see what happens there. You know, Tyler Croft has kind of been the guy whose name makes it into our conversations when we do talk about, you know, people that got the ball thrown to him. But even still, I mean, with all the passes going to guys, I wonder when the tight end game is going to get going as well.
Yeah. Starting off with the offensive line, I think people – this line has definitely improved, but I don't think it's as good as a lot of people want to believe. I think it was Nick or somebody made a good point a couple weeks ago in our Slack chat that people maybe just they see the difference from what it is right now to what it is what it was 2 years ago when LeSean McCoy, one of the best running backs of all time, could not get anything going and suffered, you know, he suffered injuries because that's how bad the line was. There is a lot of room for improvement on this offensive line. A lot of room. The health thing has been a serious issue, but it is not good. Chemistry is important in all facets of football, but I think on the offensive line, it's most crucial. It's most crucial. When you have guys who are not starting consistently, there is a noticeable difference in production. You know, I was a little sad. I was a little like, I'm not gonna say sad, but like I thought Quentin Spain was a guy who could have did something. And for some reason he could not like crack into the starting lineup this year. I don't know why, but I mean, Quentin Spain's having a decent year. Well, he was until, I don't think he's really let up sacks and stuff. So like that was a big piece that was a little questionable about, but I mean, this team has to keep retooling this offensive line. This is not an offensive line that you can go, hey, we have consistency next year. All five guys are returning because it's not that great. Yes, there have been improvements. You did mention the Feliciano, you know, him coming back and making a difference. It helps, but this there's a lot more that could be improved in this. And I don't know. Like, I mean, it puts a lot of pressure on Mitch Morse too. Mitch Morse takes a lot of flack, and I don't know how you feel about him, but you know, he's the general. He's the general of the offensive line. And when there's a new guy on the offensive line, seemingly almost every game, just about every game, and you can't general them the way that maybe a previous person would, or previous person would be able to be. It changes the dynamic of the offensive line. Colts fan here. All right. They're just going to bring up a big point. Yesterday they were missing, I believe their right tackle. Braden Smith, I believe is his name. He was out and they filled him in with a guy by the name of LaRaven Clark and they subbed him out for someone else. The chemistry that changed the way that the offense was kind of operating yesterday for the Indianapolis Colts. It definitely changed. You have to release the ball a little bit quicker. The pocket collapses. Some of those positions are very important. But the chemistry, when the five de facto starters are all together, it's a near invincible offensive line. So, Bills have to find a de facto guys, not just guys who, okay, we'll just use him to get through this year and then look to reinvent. And I get it. It's very tough to find good offensive line help. It's honestly quite a challenge. It's not always guaranteed. There's been a lot of disappointments and busts. Eric Flowers, you know, there's been a lot of guys who have, you know, come in with high expectations and just not performed. And so I think that's the next big challenge here for the Buffalo Bills management is to cement a top five, top 10 at the very least, offensive line that can help, you know, give Josh Allen a little bit more time to think. He scrambles out of the pocket a lot, and I get it. He's a mobile quarterback, but I think a lot of it is because his pocket is collapsing and he has to scramble or there's going to be negative yards, but there needs to be a de facto five, again, injuries pile up, injuries happen, but there has to be a solid cemented offensive line, at least to start the season and to play for most of the season. To get it health aside, we don't have that yet. And that might be why the running backs, you know, haven't performed as well. I mean, it's partially play calling, but why the running backs aren't playing as well as we'd have liked. I don't think any of our running backs have had a 100-yard rushing game yet. To my knowledge, I don't believe so. If they did, it was not too much over, but to my knowledge, I don't think a single one has had 100 yards.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. One of the things that I've noticed is how they tend to fill out our offensive and defensive line more with veterans and guys that they bring in, you know, free agency trades, things like that, than they do draft for it. And I, you know, not to say that they don't draft for it, but I mean, it's just as far as who we roll out as starters And, you know, the idea seems to be that they'll, you know, just coach him and aim to get the best out of him. And so in that regard, we might actually be seeing even greater productivity from some of those guys than projected, just in that sense. Now, all that being said, and this brings me to my final question for you today, is looking at the team, what areas jump out at you that, and we're way ahead of ourselves here. You know, I'm just having a little fun because it's the, you know, the bye week, and we can kind of talk about this stuff a little bit because we have 10 games under our belt and we're looking ahead at the next six. Draft and free agency coming off of this season. And I understand it's probably too soon to tell. We don't know who's going to stick around, who will be gone, stuff like that just yet. But just off the top of your head, what jumps out at you? Where would you like to see us, you know, make an addition or strengthen an area?
I mean, I've already mentioned a few. The linebackers, most certainly. The depth has been such a tragic issue of this defense. The linebackers, definitely. Offensive line, most certainly. Defensive front, I feel like it could use help, but I don't know if it's like the biggest. If they get Starla Tule back next year, and you know his impact is felt again, because we're definitely seeing it without him, then you know maybe not. I think they do have talent on the defensive line, but I don't know. Coach better. I'm not sure what the phrasing for it, but offensive line, linebacker, and we need a star tight end. We need a star tight end. That is, I mean, could you imagine this offense with Stephon Diggs, Cole Beasley, John Brown, occasionally Gabriel Davis, but a stud tight end that can change the whole dynamic? Can we, you know, Stephon Diggs changed this offense, a stud tight end. You know, what they could offer and how chaotic and crazy this it would be to have to try and defend this Bills offense. If I'm a defender right now and I see Dawson Knox across from me on the field, or I'm you know, I'll throw one defender on him, of course, but I would probably do like a zone. I'm not like terrified of Dawson Knox if I'm a defender. He's a big dude, very big, intimidating dude, but his production has not really matched his expectations. I get it. There's a couple years. It usually takes like a year or two before a tight end really finds their niche in a professional level offense. But tight end, people don't understand how important the tight end position is. When it comes to blocking, when it comes to, you know, you need that. You need that. We've said it many times, the best teams in the NFL have used a tight end in a receiving capacity. There's some really, really great tight ends out there, really productive tight end players out there. And the Bills, it's been a long time. Charles Clay, as weird as it seems, but Charles Clay with Tyrod Taylor was one of our better tight ends in over the last 20 years. Honestly, so.
It's crazy, isn't it?
It's very hard to believe because his drop-off was huge the next year when Josh Allen came into play. And they're like, oh, bye, Charles Clay. So O-line, linebacker, and, you know, maybe it's not the most important thing, but to me, I want to see this team have a good tight end. I really do. I feel like they're putting Band-Aids on potholes with guys like Dawson Knox, with Tyler Croft, with Lee Smith. I mean, they're good, but you know, for a touchdown every now and then, but you got to have guys who can move the chains and move them well and often too. So, and I'm just, you know, I don't think they have anyone on that roster right now that can do that. I think they're going to give Dawson Knox at least one more year, one more try, but they need to look elsewhere. If there's any free agent tight ends, maybe it's risky, but I know Zach Ertz, he's been around for a little while. I think Philadelphia is trying to move on from him. That might be worth looking into. Low risk, you know, try and find them for a 1-2 year deal and get something a little bit more concrete. The Super Bowl window is not going to last forever for the Buffalo Bills. And I think that probably 2 to 3 years, if they can't capitalize on it at least once or make this consistently, then, you know, people are going to have a lot of questions, are going to be unfortunately looking back on these years as a major disappointment. So, that's my thought.
I want to see, and since I'm just talking about this upcoming off season, right?
Yeah.
I won't get too far ahead of myself. I'll save this one for future conversations. I want to see what we have in Gabriel Davis at receiver. If he can continue to grow, he has that like real big play, big catch ability. And I've wanted a big receiver for Allen for a couple years now. And so hopefully he can continue to do that. If it need be down the line, adding another guy to that unit, like a, just to make it completely lights out wouldn't be the worst thing, but it's not as big of a concern for me as it has been in recent years where like every year I've wanted a big receiver for Josh Allen. So I'm with you on the tight end thing though. And here's the thing. It is like, I mean, as an efficiency minded person, you know, as like a efficiency and low cost, high reward, you know, finding value type of minded person, it's really hard not to love the Tyler Kroft contract because it's such a low risk, but such a high potential reward deal because of his ability when he's healthy and when he's on the field, when he's healthy and when he's on the field.
Yes.
Good guy. You know, he's been a difference maker at that position when they have thrown to a tight end this season. I do believe in Dawson Knox. I do have some bias there, admittedly, because he's my second favorite Bill, although Tyler Bass is quickly coming in at a third. And so all I'm saying is that I believe in Knox. I think that, you know, he's going to be a good project for them. He clearly needs to work on his hands a bit. You know, we saw the drops last year, this season, it's been an issue. When you have a spread out offense like that, and you're throwing the ball around, you know, you're not going to have as many opportunities. So you got to make the most of the ones that you get. And that's the thing. If you go back and those drops or catches, we'd be having an entirely different conversation potentially about the tight end position right now.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's the case the rest of the way. I will say this. I've said it before. I'll say it again. We have a handful of tight ends. The one that I would keep is Dawson Knox. Obviously, it's great to have the stopgap in Tyler Kroft, but I also want a dominant tight end difference maker at that position as well. You know, like we've seen on other, the way it's worked out well for other teams, whether that's Minnesota or Kansas City or Philly, you know, teams that has been a big part of their offense is having a guy who can make those plays at that position. Hopefully Knox is one of those guys. He kind of has a build almost like one of those freak giant receiver types. And so, you know, maybe working with the receiver group and maybe working on hands a bit more will help him with those drops. But let's, you know, wait and see how this goes with him the rest of the season. But I definitely would love at some point, if we have a chance to take a dominant tight end, you've seen what Tony Gonzalez or somebody like that can do and the difference they can make as far as being unstoppable and undefendable for teams historically. So that would be great. Cornerback, you know, I don't know what we have at cornerback exactly with some of these younger guys. It seems like they have a few project players there, and I don't mind that so much. It's just that third and fourth guy, right? Like we have Levi Wallace around, and then we have some other guys in the mix there, you know, ranging from Dane Jackson to Teron Johnson, guys like that. We don't know exactly what's going to shake out there. You know, we're in a good spot right now with Trey White, and you know, we're not sure exactly what Josh Norman, it's weird, like Josh Norman hasn't had the consistency where we're talking about the impact that Josh Norman makes that much, but when he's on the field and he's playing well, he has made an impact. He's made some turnovers and things like that that have been big in games. Certainly. So you know, if we get him back and maybe take a great guy in the draft and develop him, I think that could be great. Obviously when we talk about free agency, you know, continuing to strengthen the line is going to be huge. But if I was to say right now, first round next year, what position do I want? I want that linebacker. I want that disruptor, that guy that commands the attention of opposing lines to disrupt things and free up and create opportunities for other people in that linebacker unit and for the defense in general.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the most important one. I'm not sure who the big prospects are coming out of this year's alleged draft yet. I don't follow college football as maybe I should or would like to, but yeah, I highly agree. Linebackers are the highest priority, then building up those trenches, and then if we can get a decent tight end, probably through free agency. I don't know if, you know, drafting tight ends, it's there's such a risk. It doesn't pan out as much as people would like. That would be pretty swell too, but it's actually, I mean, it's honestly a good position for the Bills to be in. You know, honestly, I said this around draft time, how often are like, you know, we're like, oh God, what should the Bills start with? You know, what should they go for first? There's like, we need everything. And we get 7 rounds of draft picks. What do we need? And now we can really isolate it. We can address the problem. The Bills can. And I think it's a good trend, but I also, you know, simplicity. I love the culture. I love what I'm seeing from the Buffalo Bills. It, you know, as long as this trend continues, there's a lot of optimism going forward. So, and that's what really myself and David, we wanted to kind of talk about today, is the good things. Pick apart the bad things, which is okay. You know, that's our jobs. But also praise the good things as well, because you know, this is cool. I don't want us to, you know, I can't say us. I don't want Bills fans to become so ungrateful that we forget about, you know, the last 20 years. All right, what this team has been through. People are very quick to change their pace and you know, change their tune. And I get it. The Bills want a Super Bowl. The fan base probably deserves one. Probably. Not that anything's really deserved in football, but I don't want I don't want this team to become so short-sighted that, or the fans to be, you know, be like, you know, we set ourselves back 10, 5, 10, 15 years, by not being happy with the good stuff in front of us. So, I mean, yeah, there was a point in time where I thought the Bills cycle of doom was never ending. So, I mean, I hope the Bills fans appreciate what they have in front of them right now. Absolutely. The good, you know, take the good with the bad. There's got to be bad. There's always bad. Not every team's perfect. But this, it's, I'm sure for Bills fans, this is probably been one of the best times of their lives if they didn't exist throughout those 90s teams. Because I know a lot of kids my age who never seen that, you know, never seen that era. And so this is brand new. This is a brand new experience for them. So be appreciative. Enjoy the ride. Enjoy the ride is basically what, you know, I'm trying to say too. Again, as a Colts fan who's had to witness what I have over the last 10 years, I was too young to appreciate the Peyton Manning years. Really, truly appreciate what I had in the last 10 years. Peyton Manning got shipped away. They cut him after signing a 6-year extension. He went to Denver, went to 2 Super Bowls, won one of them, and had one of the best seasons by an NFL quarterback in the history of the game. We get Andrew Luck, apparently the best quarterback prospect of all time, and he retires before the age of 30. All right? I miss the good days. The Bills, you are experiencing the good days, relishing them, living them, enjoy them. And just keep on believing, I guess is what I'm trying to say. I'm jealous to an extent of what this Bills team has seen, you know, over the last 2 years is a complete cultural shift, and yeah, there's a lot of good to be had.
I think so too, Matt, and you're right about being appreciative, and you know, that's why I'm glad we're able to highlight so many of the strengths. That's why I love highlighting each week those records that they're setting, those records that they're breaking, franchise records, league records, position records. It's really important to take these things in stride. It's really important to celebrate the little victories and the things that make these seasons meaningful. And I hope that the step forward that this team is taking and that people are taking at positions like Josh Allen is, are really, really seen for what they are, the progress that's being made. That's really what to focus on. And it really puts things in perspective. It manages expectations. It keeps your hope high because we have a lot to feel good about. We have a lot to look forward to. I'm excited for these next six games.
Well, certainly am. But to listeners, we want to thank you for listening. Stay tuned to Bills Wire. We will have your coverage. And of course, the Wagon Wheel podcast. We will have that kind of coverage. I really enjoyed these episodes with David. I think our conversation, I think the substance of our podcast has really opened up, and we hope you are liking it as well. I know I'm a big fan of hearing myself talk for a change. So David, thank you for adding this element to the show. And yeah, listeners, again, enjoy the ride. Let's get ready for the Los Angeles Chargers. Let's kick off our final stretch of the season. Let's kick it off with a big win, and we're going to be looking forward to talking about it for you next week. So pay attention to Bills Wire. Let's read all the articles from the hardworking staff, and thank you so much for your support as always. Go Bills.
And no one circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.